Stay tuned for Real Science Friday, coming right up with Bob Enyart and Fred Williams. This is Doug McBurney, host of the Weekly Worldview, just in to give a brief update. Bob is in Lansing, Michigan, where he will be speaking in the On the Brink series featured by John Mangopoulos, presenting Focus on the Strategy. And did you know that the On the Brink series, former speakers Joe Sobrin, Pat Buchanan, Howard Phillips, Jesse Lee Peterson, Bob joins it's an A-list crowd that Bob's following there. If you're in the Lansing, Michigan area, you can call us, go to KGov, get all the information. Focus on the Strategy, presented Saturday, September 19th at 10 a.m. in Okemos, Michigan, just outside of Lansing. And the Colorado Right to Life Banquet is coming up Saturday, September 26th. The number to call so that you can reserve your seat is 303-753-9394. Lila Rose will be flying in from California. She'll be speaking. She'll be showing video she shot undercover at the Planned Parenthood of abortion mills. Her work has led to a number of charges against the mills. She's working to get the mills shut down. She's appeared on Bob Enyart Live. She's appeared on some other guy's show. Oh, yeah, Bill O'Reilly. She's got us some great coverage for the pro-life cause. A wonderful young lady. You'll have an opportunity to meet her. We'll also have a number of leaders from the Colorado Personhood Initiative giving us an update on the campaign. Now, you can focus on the strategy. It's on my mind. You can sponsor a table of eight for only $600 this year, and single plates are just $75, and that money goes to support personhood and other pro-life outreaches from Colorado Right to Life. The number to call again, 303-753-9394. The Colorado Right to Life Banquet is Saturday, September 26th at 6 p.m. at the Renaissance Hotel, right next to the Planned Parenthood Clinic. Call Colorado Right to Life, 303-753-9394. Here's Bob and Fred.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another edition of Real Science Friday. I am Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, software engineer and creation speaker.
Fred, do we have a scheme for the audience today? We're going to go through a list of things that are not as old as the atheists and evolutionists want us to think they are.
Not so slow, Bob.
Not so slow. Yeah, things that did not form as slowly as atheistic geologists tell us they had. We've gone through some of these on previous shows, but we thought it'd be fun to do a whole list. And if people want more information, we'll touch on each one briefly. They could go to our website, kgov.com, and search for Real Science Friday.
And also the not so slow list.
Not so slow. We'll combine both of them. Fred, we have 20 items.
Well, let's start with the squid, because it was discovered recently, the inky squid.
The inky squid. The British Geological Survey, they dug up this fossil squid that was how old they said it was?
About 155 million years old.
Oh, that's right. And what's amazing, you know, we get ink from squid. And what did they find in the squid?
They found ink.
They found ink.
So ink survived 155 million years.
And it didn't dry up. It wasn't dehydrated. And they used the ink to draw a picture of the squid. And that picture is all over the internet.
That's right. So is that squid really 155 million years old?
No. But let's continue. All right. Oh. We'll do each one briefly.
Okay. So the second one, these honeybees, these European and Asiatic honeybees, that they dance, and they dance to communicate with each other.
That isn't God amazing how creative he is? He gave bees the ability to dance to communicate.
So let me put on my evolutionist hat and pretend that I think these are millions of years old.
In other words, the honeybees in Asia are separated by 7 million years, according to evolutionists, from the honeybees in Europe. And so they did a study. They brought them together. This is from the Public Library of Science. They brought them together, assuming they would have forgotten their language from 7 million years ago. And guess what?
They were dancing together.
They were able to communicate, which if people separate, they develop different languages over just centuries or thousands of years. And here are honeybees. They were separated for 7 million years, and they could still communicate? No. They're not that old.
That's right. And, you know, the information is still in place, so they knew exactly what to do. And, again, it shows that there's no way these could be that old. We did a show once on language and how it actually deteriorates over time.
Yeah, right. That's so cool. Now, so that's the honeybees. So then there's Saturn's rings. What's with Saturn's rings? They say that they're really old.
Well, they say they're 50 to 100 million years old.
They assume that because they're 100 million years old, they would be super stable. And NASA and all these atheists are so shocked at how much volatility there is in the rings of Saturn. And now NASA has discovered one of the moons, Enceladus. What's going on with Enceladus?
Isn't there a volcano on there spitting up debris?
There's a volcano, which shocks them. Everything shocks them. It puts dust thousands of kilometers out above the moon, and it feeds the outermost ring of Saturn. It feeds the ring because those rings are being maintained by this moon and the volcanic activity on the moon.
It's stabilizing that outer ring. That's amazing.
It really is startling. We shouldn't see changes in the rings of Saturn if they're 100 million years old and they're super stable.
That's right.
Right. It seems like every discovery is just a bonanza for young Earth creationists.
It is, and it contradicts the old Earth paradigm.
Like, for example, the dinosaurs they're digging up lately.
Well, that's the next on the list, Bob. The soft tissue T-Rex that we found, and we continue to find these soft tissues in dinosaurs.
Yeah, this was Jack Horner. They made the movies, the Jurassic Park movies, modeled the mad scientist after Jack Horner at Montana State University. And they dig up this soft tissue T-Rex, and they find out it has blood vessels and hemoglobin and protein. And so then, now we've talked about that on the show going back a few years. You could see the photos in National Geographic and on our website, Reuters.
Well, plus it still smelled. It still had an odor. So while the squids are still inky, these are still stinky.
That's right. Stinky dinos. They're also now finding other dinosaurs with soft tissue. I think, Fred, it's really getting boring. It's sort of ho-hum to find yet another soft tissue dinosaur. The ones they found now are hadrosaurs. What kind of dinosaurs are hadrosaurs?
Is it a duck-billed dinosaur?
Duck-billed dinosaurs. That's right. And these are not 65 million years old like the soft tissue T-Rex. How old are these things supposed to be?
These are even older. They're 80 million years old.
80 million years old, and they're soft tissue. This was discovered by a team led by North Carolina State University, and they had Harvard involved from the beginning, because Harvard paleontologists and microbiologists, they're thinking, we don't want to be left out of this soft tissue dinosaur deal. So Harvard has actually now sequenced dinosaur protein.
That's right. It's amazing. So protein that's supposed to be millions of years old, there's no way it can be that old. And scientists know that.
Yeah, entropy, complex organic molecules would decay just by natural vibration of atoms. And these things, they survive for 80 million years and they're still soft and they haven't dehydrated? I mean, come on.
Yeah, you know, at Dinosaur National Park, a group of us went there, and one of the park rangers said that they find unfossilized dinosaur bones on a fairly regular basis.
Mm-hmm. This is getting so boring, Fred. The evolutionists are going to say, you know, studying soft tissue from dinosaurs really isn't going to tell us much. We're just not interested in those findings.
Yeah, it goes against their paradigm. We're used to them ignoring data that doesn't fit their worldview.
Now we've got, how about mitochondrial Eve? There's DNA called mitochondria, which is outside in the nucleus. It gets passed down from the mother to the children. And lo and behold, evolutionists are determining that all the mitochondrial DNA in the human race could be traced back to, what did they say, 1,000 different women initially?
No, back to one woman.
Back to one woman. It's just astounding.
Yeah, so they look at this really data. Is. They sequence, and mitochondrial DNA is easier to sequence than the DNA in the nucleus because there's not as much of it.
Right.
I think they estimate 37 genes are selected by this DNA. So,
and there's about 16,000 amino acid pairs.
That's
versus
right.
3 billion.
So there's not a lot of it. So it's a lot easier to sequence, and they can sequence a whole bunch of different groups of people. And based on these sequences, they can find out the ancestral traits going back to some certain person. Now, they claim that mitochondrial Eve came out of Africa because of the genetic diversity, but it actually could easily have been out of the Mideast, too.
Well, and just a couple weeks ago, we found out it comes from Georgia, Atlanta. There's a story out of actually Eastern Europe that they found a skull and bones, and they said, look, maybe early man came out of Georgia. But wherever they think early man came from, actually it was the Garden of Eden. And it's fascinating that evolutionists are saying there was one woman. The Bible says Eve was the mother of all the human race. And that's what the evolutionists are saying now. There was one mitochondrial Eve. And at first they said, well, she lived about, what was it, 150,000 years ago?
Yeah, about 150,000. So they were okay with there being one woman. You know, that fits the Bible, but they were okay with that because their early data was showing that she would be roughly 100,000 years ago when she existed.
Yeah, but that's because they put into their calculations chimp DNA.
Yeah, they didn't have a lot of sampling from the human population, and they included some chimpanzee mitochondria.
Right, and now they're getting way more. And so even the evolutionists are saying, you know what? If we use actual mutation rate data from the human race, we find out that maybe mitochondrial Eve was 20,000 years ago, and then they said, oops, she might have been 6,000 years ago.
Yeah, Ann Gibbons had her article in Science Magazine, No mm-hmm. Friend the Creationist.
No.
And she said that using their new clock, she would be a mere 6,000 years old.
That's just astounding. The first female human being genetically, according to atheistic science, is about 6,000 years ago. Something else we've talked about, in Yellowstone, there's this mountain. This massive mountain that's broken into dozens of pieces over 100 square miles or so. It's an actual mountain that broke apart. It's called the Heart Mountain Detachment, and I guess it took millions of years.
Well, no, scientists now agree that it probably took about 30 minutes.
That's right, and you can find that in the secular geologic journals, mainstream science publications, hours, maybe even 30 minutes, not millions of years. How about in the state of Washington, the Scablands? Remember the Scablands? It's an extraordinary part of the U.S. that's just scarred. They call it Scablands, and it's massive. And it took millions of years to get that way?
Well, not according to Nova, the TV show.
That's right. They said it occurred from a catastrophic flood. Now, they like to say there was a major flood and then a couple other minor floods. But it occurred catastrophically within hours and days, not in millions of years. And after the Scablands, just go over to Wyoming. How about in Yellowstone, Fred? The petrified trees and the strata that supposedly 15 forests grew on the same basic hillside?
Oh, yeah, forests grew over another petrified forest buried on top of each other over millions and millions of years. But then all of a sudden something happened at Mount St. Helens that did this same thing in a matter of really months.
Yeah, Mount St. Helens, the volcano blew, and it knocked down hundreds of thousands of trees, and they were floating in Spirit Lake. And as documented by creationists like geologist Stephen Austin, they began to float upright because they had
rocks.
Because
the roots were, it's heavier, and it's also heavier on the root, right?
The roots are more dense, the trunk of the tree, and there's rocks embedded in the roots. So they float upright, and then what do?
Well, then they sink, and they sink to the bottom, and they get embedded in the muck.
Right, and so as the muck is settling out in strata, the trees are planted in different layers.
In different layers.
And guess what happened at Yellowstone? They took down the sign there because what they never told the public, but what creationists have been trying to tell the public for many years, is that those trees had no roots. Those trees did not grow on that hillside as the Park Service was telling the public.
Exactly. They had to be buried there, transported there by some watery event.
Right. And they sunk there, and they sunk in different layers of strata as those layers were being deposited. So that sign, by the way, Fred, you know the story that our dear friend is a national park ranger in Maui, in Hawaii, at Haleakala. And Cheryl and I were having dinner at his home with his wife. And he said he would help us get the sign down at the petrified trees in Yellowstone. So he wrote to his associates and said, you know, there's no roots. This is misinformation. This is not right. And that sign has come down at Yellowstone.
And that's great news.
That is great news. There was another park with a sign that came down. You remember where that was?
Carlsbad Cavern.
That's right. In New Mexico. And my family went there, Fred. And that's an awesome cavern. I mean, it's just an extraordinary underground wonder world. It's amazing.
And what was the sign? What was it talking about?
Yeah, it said, you know, the beautiful stalactites and stalagmites. And it said that it took 260 million years to form this cavern and all. and all these stalactites.
And it was based on these stalactites and looking at their growth rate.
Yeah, right. Their growth rate today when there's a desert overhead.
Yeah.
And that sign used to say 260 million years ago. Then they changed it to 8 million years ago. Then 2 million years ago. And you know what the sign says now?
Nothing. It's not there.
Right. The sign is down. And in fact, we link to the official tour of the Carlsbad Cavern from the National Park Service. And this is what it says. It says, quote, the rate of formation depends on the amount of available water, unquote. So praise the Lord, this bogus that it takes millions of years, stalactites and stalagmites form quickly if there's water.
Well, you know, Bob, explain something to me. These signs kept going down in age from 260 million years, then it said 8 million, and then 2 million, then now it's zero. Hmm. But how come every 10 years or so the Earth keeps getting older?
Yeah.
By billions or millions
yeah.
of years.
Yeah, right. The Earth gets older.
There's an opposite
older.
Effect here.
The universe gets older. I think when I went to grade school, the universe was 12 billion years old. By the time I graduated, it was 13 billion. Went to high school, it's 14 billion.
Maybe they'll start averaging it out compared to with the Carlsbad data.
Yeah, right. Right. So now, Fred, Papua New Guinea, there is a fascinating gold deposit there, which is another example of things that don't happen as slowly as we were told.
Yeah, it turns out that there was a geologist that admit that they could have formed in thousands of years, which is far more quick than their millions of years.
Yeah, and it's the Lahir Gold Deposit in New Guinea. And evolutionists, of course, they always assume everything. You show them like Fido's doghouse, and they say, that probably took millions of years to build. Everything took millions of years. And now as they study these things, they say, and these are evolutionary, atheistic geologists. They say, you know what? It probably didn't take millions of years. This gold deposit probably formed in thousands of years. Or you know what? Maybe far more quickly.
That's right.
That's pretty cool. Well, what's the next item on our list?
Well, the next item is Box Canyon, Idaho, and geologists now think that it was carved out by a catastrophic flood and not slowly over millions of years.
Yeah, they find there, and these things have always been there, huge plunge pools formed by waterfalls, almost complete removal of large basalt boulders from the canyon, an eroded notch on the plateau at the top of the canyon, and water scour marks at the on the basalt plateau leading to the canyon. All this is such overwhelming evidence that Box Canyon in Idaho was formed quickly, and they say instead of millions of years, how long do they say it might have taken?
About 35 days.
35 days.
So were there any signs there, Bob?
No.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so now what do we have? This is one of my favorites. Jellyfish that are fossilized near Milwaukee. This was in a quarry, Fred. They're digging out minerals and in a quarry, and they come across fossils of jellyfish, which are very rare.
That's amazing, and this is the first time I've heard of this one. And it looks like they were deposited in seven different layers.
And those seven layers, supposedly by typical uniformitarian geologic dating, those seven layers were laid down over a period of some million years or so.
So help me understand this. So by sheer coincidence that a whole bunch of them died a million some years ago, and then right. another million years went by, and then another group, they probably have this the habit of hanging out there.
Yeah, right.
And then they
the jellyfish,
died.
Every 100,000 years, jellyfish would, it'd be a reunion.
A family reunion.
They were into beer, you know?
Yeah. Near Milwaukee, they probably had a tailgating party for the ancient Green Bay Packers. Bay jellyfish.
They probably did. And you see, jellyfish don't readily fossilize because they're all soft body parts.
Exactly.
So it's very rare. And here you have in one small area in seven layers that were supposedly laid down over a million years, a school of jellyfish. Come on, guys. This school of jellyfish was floating there when this cataclysm happened and these layers were deposited and the whole school was caught up.
Buried rapidly.
Within hours, not over a million years.
Amazing.
That's another good one, Fred. Okay. Now, what do we have? Oh, the manganese nodules. These are so funny because we're told that manganese nodules on the bottom of the ocean, that they take hundreds of thousands or a million years to form. And I got a documentary about manganese nodules produced by the World Almanac. And they quote a marine biologist who said, you know, we do think these form very, very slowly, except that we have found some formed around beer cans.
I knew those jellyfish were having a tailgating party.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, and also they apparently have formed around old World War II ships, and neither of which are millions of years old. So these manganese nodules can form quickly given the right circumstances.
Wow, they found them on World War II ships.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a Hollywood movie where this modern ship went back in time. So could this be because that World War II ship went back millions of years?
It must have been. Was that the Philadelphia Experiment or something like that? What was the name of that movie?
I don't remember.
Are you getting older? I'm getting older. I can't even remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, Fred, those movies, they crack me up. They go back in time with an aircraft carrier, and there they are outside of Pearl Harbor, and here come the Japanese, and they say, we can't shoot them down. We'd ruin the time continuum.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, it's a movie, you dimwits. Yeah. It's a movie. Just shoot them down. Everybody will have a blast.
That's right. That's the movie I was talking about, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's a Hollywood so weird. Okay, so how about this? How about supernova remnants? Stars explode, and they have remnants.
They leave a remnant. And so they've looked at these remnants, and they get an idea of how many there should be based on an age of the universe. So there's these young remnants that they're finding that their model never predicted to find.
Mm. And like, for example, 1,000 years ago, there was a supernova in the Crab Nebula. And so we could study these things, and we know that there are different stages. And a stage 3 supernova remnant would be a greater diameter. It'd be larger because the explosion, the debris goes out.
That's right.
Isn't it funny that it doesn't collect and form a star and planets? But anyway, it distributes, it goes out, it expands, and they've never been able to find evidence of supernova remnants that are more than 10,000 years old. The evidence is overwhelming that the supernova remnants are recent.
That's right. If the universe is young, you should not find any stage 3 supernova remnants. Do we find any stage 3?
No.
No.
Okay, we only have a few more minutes. We have fossils that have protein in them, Fred, not only dinosaurs, but they have DNA and bacteria. And I'll give you an example. Scientific American, 17-million-year-old magnolia leaf DNA. Science News, 100-million-year-old dinosaur fossil with protein. Nature, 120-million-year-old insect fossil with DNA. Science News, 200-million-year-old fish fossil with DNA. Science, 30-million-year-old bee fossil containing living bacteria. 30-million-year-old living bacteria. And then we have, in Nature magazine, allegedly 600-million-year-old rock containing living bacteria.
Wow. The bacteria they found at Fountain of Youth.
Yeah, that's right. So these things are not that old. And these biological molecules and living organisms is evidence. The Earth's magnetic field reversals, the magnetic field didn't have to reverse over long periods of time, but it reversed very quickly. Sometimes the magnetic field changed rapidly by up to 6 degrees per day for several days. In fact, a lot of the evolutionary headlines say Earth's magnetic field flipped fast.
That's right. And Dr. Russell Humphreys made predictions of this before they found a lot of this data that shows that this stuff happened rapidly. And he's a creation scientist that's spent many years at Sandia Labs.
That's right. And polystrate fossils, Fred, there are fossils like at Fossil Cliffs of Joggins,
well, what
Nova
are polystrate? What is that?
Through different strata, trees that are vertical through strata that's supposedly a million years old.
So if a tree is vertical in a bunch of strata, let's say the first layer is laid down millions
right.
of years,
right.
wouldn't the top of that, the tree above that rot?
It would have eroded away.
Doesn't it's a million just, years do that trick or not?
Yeah, it would.
So anyway. And you know, that's powerful evidence for a global flood because you find polystrate fossils everywhere.
Everywhere. Spiral galaxies, if they were billions of years old, their spiral arms should now be deformed since astronomers have known for decades, the speed of the arms do not align with the centers of the galaxies. So there's billions of missing years in spiral galaxies.
That's right. Those arms of the galaxy should have wound down like a clock screw, and they should be no more than maybe, you know, 10 million years old, and they claim that they're hundreds of millions of years old.
Yeah.
There's an age limit there, and they don't understand why these arms are still there. No matter how far out you look with a Hubble telescope, it's as if they were just planted there. And when you have that debate, Bob, they could, with the old earthers, they could not answer that question for the spiral arms. They couldn't even come up with
that's right.
And make-believe story.
We're about out of time, but the Grand Canyon, geologists admit there are 100 million years missing in the layers at the Grand Canyon. That cracks me up, Fred. And also the layers that we can see, they have these perfect boundaries showing there was no erosion between layer after layer after layer because they were all laid down rapidly, not over millions of years.
That's right. All these flat boundaries. It's like taking a butter and slicing it with a knife.
It's so funny. And, you know, if they can't figure out the Grand Canyon where the layers are perfectly exposed for 277 miles, a mile deep, a mile, 10 miles across, what makes you think they're going to figure out the geology of the rest of the world where it's all hidden and buried?
That's right.
That cracks me up. And finally, we have carbon-14, which is found pretty much everywhere.
Just about everywhere. It should have decayed into nitrogen after 40,000 years is pretty much the maximum you could expect to find carbon.
Right, but we find carbon-14 in diamonds.
Found it about we find it in about everything, natural gas and coal. All these things are supposed to be millions of years
old.
Oil,
dinosaur fossils, in amber, and they should be carbon-14 dead because it decays.
That's right. It should be long gone. It should have long turned into nitrogen.
But we find it like 2 mile deep natural gas wells. Everywhere we look, we find carbon-14, which is a big friend of creationists, as Fred Williams always says.
Yeah. Well, evolutionists, they say that time is, in fact, the hero of the plot. It performs miracles. That's their miracle to try to feed
time.
Evolution
time
to the public.
Time is their God.
It
and
isn't
the evidence
true.
Is against these old
That's
ages.
Right. The evidence is well against it.
Fred Williams, thanks for another episode of Real Science Friday.
Oh, it was great doing it again,
so
Bob.
So much fun. Our telethon, kgov.com. Please help us stay on the air. 1-800-8-NYARDS. 1-800-836-9278. Or go to kgov, kgov.com. Email the show to a friend. And in Arvada, Maranatha, what a great school. May God bless you.